Blitz, KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler. At AJ's The Real, at Jon Snow, zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, a little hockey talk, a little restaurant talk, movie talk, and a lot of Astros talk. And Jason says, so tell me about over 100 years of losing and compare attendance records. Houston is full of transplants, won't even show for a great team. I got to dispute that because from 1998 through 2010, which was 2 years of bad play, the worst attendance was 2.45 million. I mean, and they did over 3 million three times in that stretch, 2.8, 2.7. That's
by now, is that tickets sold or that people through the turnstiles?
That's, I don't know how they were keeping up with it in the 2000s.
Okay.
I don't know that it was tickets sold until, you know, later into the early or late 2000s. I don't know. But those teams, the 2017 drew 3 million fans. The 2016 drew 3 million fans. So people will go. 2004, 3 million fans. 2.8 in 2005. I mean, those teams drew. So, I mean, that's when I was covering the team in there all the time. And you know, it was always packed. You know, you'd get your midweek games before school was out, but the low was 22,000. It wasn't like it is now where they'll say there's 18 in there and there's six. But those teams drew very well. But you lost all that because the reality is they were so bad for so long. You lost almost a full generation of fans.
And then the whole Comcast Sportsnet thing didn't help either.
No, it didn't. It didn't. But yeah, you know, that's
do you think the Rangers, I guess their relative success, it's not like they've won a World Series either, but they've been a better team over the last 10 years than the Astros have, sure, like considerably better. Do you think that the popularity has, that gap has closed some?
Well, I think that it closed when the Rangers were better. I thought the Rangers became more relevant, frankly, and more popular. And you go to Astros games and there were just as many Rangers fans. I don't know if that's the case anymore. And by comparison's sakes, the Rangers have only drawn over 3 million fans twice, and that was 12 and 13. So, and if you go and look at most of theirs, they had some good ones in the early 2000s. That was the A-Rod teams and all those guys. We were at 2.9 one year, a couple of years. But for the most part, you know, it's, you go over, I guess from 2008 until 2015 is when the Astros sucked and the Rangers were good. And the Rangers only failed to draw 2 million fans one time in that stretch.
Okay.
So it's not as far off as you would think. 713-780-ESPN. As we said, Cubs are not a fair comparison because of three letters, WGN. Yeah, I didn't think we were talking about the Cubs. I thought we were talking about the Rangers. But let's try Scott. He wants to weigh in on the Astros attendance.
Sports
to you, sir.
Do you think, because I can speak from experience, that some of the attendance woes are due to the move to the American League West? And not the National League? Because I miss seeing the Cubs and the Cardinals.
Okay, well, that's the I guess so, but that does that speak to how good the fans are? Because I would say that the National League Central had two what I would consider national brand teams, and people would go to those games because there are Cubs and Cardinals fans here, just like in every other city in the country. And the AL West, they don't have one of those teams. They don't have a national brand team.
Well, and not only that, though, you had legitimate rivalries there. The Astros and Cardinals were playing in the playoffs almost every year. And if not, they were playing the Cubs. And all those teams were always battling for the division for a long time. And I think it was an adjustment when they moved out of the NL West. But that developed into a hell of a division where you always were battling those teams. You don't have that here. Even now, I mean, the Rangers are the closest thing. But to be honest, the Rangers aren't the Cardinals, and from national interest or the Cubs.
Yeah.
And I do think that's a factor. I think there are some people who are still bitter of the way they got moved to the American League. But the reality is, if you like the team, you like the team.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily an Astros thing. Take the Rockets this year. They weren't a legitimate contender, but they were one of the best
three teams in the league,
record-wise. And their attendance all year, it's been pitiful.
It was horrible.
And they would show up for games. They had to beg people to come to a playoff game early.
Yeah.
For dollar beer and hot dogs.
But the Astros, historically, when the Astros have been good, they have drawn. The Texans always draw, good or bad.
Right. Well, and I think there's a reason for that, and I think there's a variety of reasons for it. But one of the problems is, and I believe this. Of the three of us, how many of us live close to the stadium?
One. Now?
Right now. Live close to
the Astros?
Close to Minute Maid Park. If you had a 9-to-5 job where you could go home, get your kids, and then get back to the game, I mean, that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And we're talking about for 67% of the three people sitting here.
I mean, that's every city in the country.
No, it's not. That's not really fair. I think it's true of a lot of cities, but there are also cities that have more concentration of the population within an easier driving distance. We're a very spread out city.
That's true.
And I think, and I'm not excusing it, because if you want to go, you want to go. But let's say you work downtown and you live in the Woodlands and you go and
you got to drive up and then get your family.
Or either that or you have to come down and park twice and then drive home separately. It's not convenient. I mean, it is the same thing with the Rockets. And by the way, the traffic to get to a Rockets game is a pain in the ass. The parking's a pain in the ass. I get all that. I think it's a factor, but I don't think it's an excuse.
Yeah.
And I think back in the T-Mac Yao days, they had tip off at 7:30 instead of 7. And I think that helped a lot in terms of attendance.
I agree. I think that would help. So.
But they moved it back to 7, or they bumped it back up to 7 o'clock tips. So that's where you see a lot of people. I mean, I don't know. It's a fickle fan base, but I think a 7:30 tip start would help with the attendance.
713-780-ESPN. Jason was saying, I was making a point. In your own state, the Astros' attendance is less than the Rangers. Horrible. Actually, no. Go back and look at those numbers. That's what we were just saying. It's been bad because of the recent stretch where they sucked. But go back and look before that. Soccer Bilal says, it's no excuse for Houston. I've seen more Astros games than Dynamo games. And he's Soccer Bilal. Yeah, but you like real soccer. That's not really fair. You're like into the real teams. 713-780-ESPN. And I do think the Comcast thing was a big factor. I do think the fact that Drayton McClain ran the team into the ground to make the value higher, I think all those things are factors. But so everyone says going to Reliant is truly the biggest pain in the ass. People pick Texans games because there's so few of them. Well, that's the thing. You only have to go to 10.
Yeah.
You're not going to 81 games. Or 41 games. Again, I don't think that's an excuse, but I think it's an explanation. And yeah, I don't really go much anymore, and it's extremely convenient for me. I just don't enjoy the game day experience as much as I used to. I don't like being around a whole bunch of people, especially if you're
going
to woo.
Well, and going to a Texans game is basically your entire Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tailgating, getting there, getting out
of there. Yeah. Oh.
Although, if you take that train, it's a lot easier. It's a longer walk.
Well, the train is convenient for people who live downtown.
No, you park downtown, take the train.
It's a pain in the ass to drive into downtown, period.
It's a hell of a lot. No, it's not. Not on a Sunday. Yeah. It's dead down there
on
a Sunday.
It is easier on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you just go park downtown, take that thing, and it's a lot quicker than sitting in the damn parking lot trying to get out. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. So, and let's not lose sight of the fact that television has made the game day, they've worked so hard to make the game experience better on your television. It really is better than going in person.
Yeah.
I think it is. And plus, if there's more than one event on, I like to watch a whole bunch of things at once. I don't like to just be focused on one game. You know, I'll go when the basketball and hockey and Astros were all going, I'd go to the bar so I could watch all three at once. And I had Astros tickets. I wanted to keep up with the other stuff too. All right, quick break. A lot more to go. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back on the Blitz. A couple of thoughts from people. Lauren the Aggie says, to your point, a lot of the big A&M games, we save the money and watch on TV so we can actually watch the game. But that's one of those places where it's such a great game day experience, but once you've done it a few times, and that kind of plays into what Astros Dynamite says. So there's another point on game day experience. Once you've done so many times, there's not much new to take from it. So I love going to a game at Kyle Field, but I've done it. There's, you know, it's not like it's going to change for me. And part of it, too, is, I mean, I've been to so many games and had season tickets and had to cover games for so long that I just don't enjoy the experience as much. Every now and then I like to go to a game and show up and sit up at the top and, you know, just spend the afternoon watching an Astros game or every, you know, one Rockets game a year or something like that, a couple of Texans games. But, and part of this is being old and part of it's having been to so many games, I just don't enjoy it as much anymore. I don't even enjoy going to UH games as much, which is a new thing for me. Let's try Joey. What's up, Joey?
Hey, sports fellas.
Sports to you.
Something that I was going to just add in, you were talking a little bit about the transplants into the city, and this is a little bit on the lines of what you're just saying, Fred, was in my experience, I'm a transplant myself. I just got here in 2014, and I remember when I first got here, the Astros were real bad, and the tickets were priced pretty cheap, you know, to match the product they were putting on the field. And then in 2015, they got good, and the tickets got expensive. And, of course, that makes all sorts of sense from a business perspective. But my thought was that, you know, with all the transplants, as the city continues to grow and new people keep getting brought in, it also kind of creates a bit of a barrier to entry when tickets get really expensive to go to games. Don't know if you guys would agree with that or what your thoughts were, but just wanted to add that to the discussion. Appreciate it, guys.
Do you think tickets are priced too high?
I think... The premium tickets are, if you want to, you know, if you want to show off to your friends or your clients, those are a little pricey, but you can go to a game
pretty cheap. I mean, way cheaper than you go to a Rockets or a Texans game.
Yeah, and to be honest, if you get those upper deck tickets, you just wait an inning or two and you go downstairs. That's what most people do, because especially during the week. So you can get those pretty cheaply. But I do think the fact that, you know, this is always going to be a transplant city. We got new people coming in from everywhere every day. And if you're moving here from Chicago, you're still going to be a Cubs or White Sox fan. That's just, you know, you might go to some Astros games and root for them when they're not playing your guys, but that's still going to be your team.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's very, very natural. In fact, I respect that a hell of a lot more than, oh, well, I live in this city. This is my team now. Lamont says, native Houstonians do not like downtown. This is not hard. I avoid downtown like the plague. I would just say that's, you've got the old mentality of downtown, which when I worked downtown for many years and there was nothing there, it was crap. I didn't want to be down there. I wish we'd had offices anywhere but it's not the same thing, and it's really changed a lot, and it's, you know, it's one of those things you gotta get over. 409 says, going to a game is all about the crowd experience. To be there in person and feel your body vibrate with the rhythm of the crowd to where you literally feel the ups and downs of the game in a way you simply cannot reproduce if you're at home. It's an emotional experience that lasts a lifetime. I've been there at some of the most amazing games. Mike Scott, no-hitter for the division in 86, or the 18-inning Astros playoff victory. It's like going to a concert versus listening to a song in your car through headphones. No
yeah,
comparison.
But the difference is, like, how many times do you do that before it's not a special event?
Well, that's the thing. I was there at the Mike Scott no-hitter. That was different. That was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. That's also one game. I was also there for the Mets series and when they lost that one.
Well, yeah, and if you went to a ton of games in the 80s, you also sat through some dud games.
Yeah, that yes.
You'd much rather forget, like when the best player on the team was Jose Cruz. Not a great team.
No, and I sat through a lot of those.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
We had season tickets for that. And it's like, when you're a kid, it's awesome, and you love going to every game. But then I think about my dad who paid for the season tickets, and it's like, man, if it's more of an occasion, you know, like every once in a while my kids will bug me enough to go to an Astros game and I'll haul them down to a game. But I mean, if you go to something every single day, it loses that magic feeling that texter's talking about.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Those are rarities, man. And you know, that's like, to me, that's like when you were in Little League and you hit a grand slam and you talk about what a great feeling that was. Well, you also batted 200 for your career and hit a lot of, you know, struck out a lot.
Yeah.
Those aren't the same feelings.
And to your point, you're not just paying for those season tickets. You're paying for parking. You're paying for overpriced food and beer. And then you multiply that with however many people that you're going with. If you're a family of four, you're talking about what? You're talking about $20, $30 for parking. Then you're talking about $8 per beer. If you get two beers, that's $16. And then you're talking about almost $100 worth of food.
Well, what I would suggest is there's some really good bars around there. Go and drink there first because it's cheaper. And a lot of people do. They go down to Eighth Wonder and Neal's and Little Woodrow's and all that. And then you go to the game and don't spend your money on that stuff. You just spend it on the tickets. And you can park down there for free in most places.
Well, I'm talking about if you had kids. Like AJ was talking about going to a game with his dad. You're talking about kids and they're going to want to eat and they're going to want to buy gear.
That's true. Don't have kids. That would be my suggestion to you and Teresa. 832 says Houston and the Burbs is just a different experience. It's Houston in town, no way around it. I wouldn't drive from Katy to hang out downtown. Well, I wouldn't drive from downtown to hang out in Katy either.
But what's crazy is there's more people living downtown inside the loop than there was when the Astros were drawing two, three million people a year.
And that number's getting bigger and bigger. But here's the thing. If you live in Pearland, if you live in Sugar Land, if you live in Missouri City or Katy or the Woodlands or any of those places, there's enough there from a community perspective that you don't really need to go anywhere unless you're coming downtown for a game or something. There's no reason for you to come downtown otherwise unless you're into plays or the ballet or stuff like that. And that's a good thing, and that's why those communities are the way they are. I mean, if I had kids, I wouldn't live downtown. I mean, I have kids, but if I had young kids, I would live out in Pearland or someplace like that. And there'd be everything I'd want in that little area for the most part.
Yeah.
So.
And another thing, like if I do come downtown with my kids, like, I don't know, going to get food downtown with kids, not ideal.
No, but taking kids anywhere to get food
is not
ideal.
You're right.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Says you don't really know how short Altuve is until you go see a game in person. That's true. That is very true. But I think there's a lot of factors. But I you got a great team. They're fun to watch. And yeah, I if they can keep this up, we get into July, they can go get another starting pitcher. I think they can win the World Series. And even those good teams with Bagwell and Biggio, there were a lot of those teams that were winning the division. You didn't feel like that. You felt like you did with the Texans going 9-7. So they made the playoffs, but that's as far as they're going to go. This team, I think, there should be a different buzz about.
Yeah.
AMC West said, I love downtown, but I'm 23, so I don't know how it was back in the 70s and 80s, but I love going to Astros games. It was a ghost town. It was businesses. People worked down there, but the only bars were La Carafe and Warren's and Brewery Tap. And then they opened Flying Saucer. But that was it. There was not a bar scene. There were no stadiums down there at the time because the Rockets were playing out at Osteen's Palace,
mm-hmm.
and everything else was at the Astrodome. So there wasn't, you know, and I think now you've got the soccer stadium down there. You've got Toyota Center. You've got Minute Maid. So you got a lot of that there. And because of that, the area's grown up around it. Now you do have a lot more people living downtown, and that number is going to continue to grow. And a lot of those people, I think, are people who come from outside the city. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. In my neighborhood, I see a lot of people of very different age groups, but almost none of them. I mean, there's a few with children, but not many. And I think that's, you know, I think there's a reason for that. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. We're doing okay on the calls today, but we're going to have Jerome next. And I bet Jerome has some opinions on this.
Yeah.
Tell you what I have some opinions on, Harry's Razors. Father's Day is just around the corner, and you know how hard it is to get something for your dad. And you want to get him a great looking gift that's useful, doesn't break the bank. Well, Harry's has you covered. As a matter of fact, I got one of these for my father-in-law. And no matter who you're buying for, because, I mean, this guy's got everything, right? He's retired. He's hyper-rich. You want to get him something that's going to make him happy and make you think that, hey, you know, give the illusion that you really care. Because at some point, you're going to want to inherit that money. So here's what you do. Harry's has got a special offer. Just use code BLITZ at checkout, and you're going to save $5 off your set. And I'm telling you, man, I love these Harry sets. I've been using them now for over a year, and it makes such a difference. And the quality that they send and the way it looks, man, it's gonna be a great, great gift, and you're not spending much money for it. Harry's shave sets start at just $15. You can get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, and three of Harry's five-blade engineered razors. And how about this? A personal and practical Father's Day gift. Limited edition Father's Day shave set. And I'm telling you, man, this looks great. Matte black razor handle, chrome razor stand, Harry's moisturizing foaming shave gel, three of Harry's handcrafted blade cartridges, and a travel cover. And it's just a cool gift box, man. Go to harrys.com right now. Redeem a special offer just for the Blitzers. $5 off your purchase with promo code BLITZ. Don't wait. That's harrys.com. Enter code BLITZ at checkout to get $5 off.
ESPN
97.5.
Behold the King, the King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
And we are back on The Blitz, and you know what that music means. Time for our good friend, Houston Chronicle columnist, TV guy, podcaster, all-around superstar, Jerome Solomon. What's going on, Jerome?
What's up, gentlemen? Having a good one.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk to you in a little while. What have you been up to, man?
Work it, man.
Really?
Yes. You know, it's that time of year where, you know, the Rockets are dead, you know, football is dead, even though I've had so many discussions lately about the meaning of OTAs as if it really matters. It's pretty silly, but
isn't that what you call practice for practice?
Yeah, it's not even the real practice. Exactly, it's so bad. But you know, the NFL is just dominant like that. But I guess maybe in the last time or recently when I was talking to you guys, we were talking about and the Astros really nobody's playing out of their mind. They still have guys who haven't got hot yet, and Mr. Correa has been hot, so. Yeah, the Astros have just been they're almost too fun to watch right now. It's so crazy.
Yeah, and yesterday, now, to be fair, the Twins were coming off an extra inning game, and their bullpen was a mess. But how impressed were you with that? I mean, 11 runs and 14 runs in the last two innings.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's you know, the competition does matter, but you still have to do it, and it's not like they haven't been doing that kind of thing all year. I mean, this team plays or shows up with a mentality that they're going to win. They believe in themselves as much as any team, you know, we've seen in these parts in a really long time. And it's not one of those fake beliefs because they're winning. They're winning because they believe. So it's really impressive. It's it's taking it to a whole another level, and it's like, okay, wait a minute, it's May, let's not get ridiculous. But every time you say that, they do something else that make you think, oh, you might as well be ridiculous and enjoy this for the next few months and see what happens later and when it gets to later.
Well, and realistically, when we were talking about that before, when you look at this lineup, yeah, Correa is hitting .311 now, but I don't know that that's something you wouldn't expect out of him at some point. I mean, he's supposed to be that good. The only guy you look at and say, wow, I didn't see that coming, is Marwin Gonzalez. Other than that, everybody's numbers, they still have guys who haven't broken out the way they could. Even Altuve only hitting .308. And that's a guy you expect a little more out of. I think there's still upside for this lineup.
Oh, yeah. No, there's definitely upside for it. And that's what makes this winning so key is that, like you said, Marwin Gonzalez, well, if he goes through the entire month of June and doesn't hit a home run, does nothing, we're not sitting here thinking, oh, if Gonzalez doesn't play well in June, the Astros can't win, right? He could take the month off and he should still win. They're in that kind of shape. And you're right, there are guys who can hit hot streaks, and Beltran is going to have a stretch where he goes off for a week or two and he hasn't really done that. And pitching is it's weird to say it's not great because of the record and all, but it's just been really good. But, you know, you won two starters, and McCullers and Keiko, they've been ridiculously outstanding, but you kind of expected that from them, or certainly you're not shocked to see it from them. How long that continues is a question that we only time will answer, but really good teams have pitchers like that who deliver in seasons like this one looks like it's going to be.
Do you think, and I know you've spent some time with the Astros owner, at this stage, they're going to be they're going to be buying as we get close to the deadline. Will they spend what it takes to go out and get another starting pitcher, which they desperately need, or add relief help? Will they do it?
Yeah. Oh, I think they definitely will. I mean, like I said, I was giving the guy a little more credit than most people were willing to give early on when I got to know him a little bit. And, you know, it's one thing about him, he is definitely a competitor. And you hear that about everybody in a way because it's just an easy line to throw out there. But the guy wants to win. But he's also a hell of a businessman. So early on he realized, well, we ain't going to win. So I'm not just going to throw money away just to throw it away. But, you know, winning is vital and very important to him, and he holds his people who work to him to that standard. Well, if it's that important to him, when the time comes to make this kind of a move, he's got to make that move. He's got to, you know, come up off the wallet, you know, and write that big check. He's never said he wouldn't, you know. He's never said he was against that. He's always said, look, when it's time, it's time. And the payroll has jumped tremendously in just the last 3 years when, you know, they could have milked it a little bit longer, except, you know, he's like, hey, look, you know, when we're ready to go, let's go. And right now they should be ready to go.
Jerome Solomon is our guest. Bryce Harper suspended 4 games and Hunter Strickland suspended 6 games for yesterday's, quote, brawl. Did you get a chance to see that?
Yeah, hilarious. I didn't see that they were suspended because I've been, you know, disconnected here for the last couple of hours. But so 4 games to 6, well, one, that's ridiculous because, you know, the pitcher should get a heck of a lot more than that. And pitchers should get more than that in general. But in this situation, give me a freaking break. And I got no problem with what Harper did, except, you know, you can go out there, man. Go out there, do some damage. You know, earn your 4 games in a way. But, you know, not everybody knows, you know, can deal in that situation. But for a guy to just be waiting for a couple of years to hit you, I mean, I'm really hoping there's something else to the story that'll make it far more fascinating than Harper, you know, doing the slow motion stare at a home run a couple of years ago.
I think the biggest issue that came from that in most people's minds is that Buster Posey didn't try to get in front of Bryce Harper. and then basically after the game said, well, I can kind of see why he did it. Does that make Buster Posey a bad teammate, or is that just, I mean, are you, is there some unwritten rule you have to get in front of the guy before he beats up your pitcher?
It's there. That's why it's unwritten, because it ain't that hard of a rule. Hey, look, there's a rule with me, and, you know, when I was younger and hanging out all the time, and I go out with my boys, you know, you got into it, then that means we got into it. But every now and then, you let a guy know, look, dude, this ain't a fight we need to be in. And if you really want to get in this one, you know, I'm going to be a little more reluctant to jump in than I would be if we're in the right. So I think Posey was like, really? This we're going to have this fight? All right, go ahead, man. You deserve this butt whipping. I'm not gonna lose my mind over it. And Posey, he's not a young guy. He's been around a long enough time. I don't have a huge problem with it. But I certainly, now if I was the other guy, yeah, you're gonna automatically go, hey man, why you don't have my back? Well, my guess is Posey knew he was gonna do it, and Posey told him, dude,
I wouldn't do
I
that.
Think that's kind of silly. Yeah. Okay, if you want to do that, knock yourself out, you know.
Yeah, watching those guys flail at each other though, that was so pathetic. It's not like anybody was going to knock himself out. Remember when you used to do slap fights as a kid? That's what that looked like.
That's probably the thing. I don't know if you actually used the word phrase, but it's not like he stood there and watched the brawl.
Right.
He watched some guys go out there and mess around, but it wasn't a real Donnybrook, as it were. It wasn't a real fight. So, you know, but I've had a buddy of mine, you know, who got in one of those situations, and his friend got punched in the eye, and he's like, well, man, well, if he's not really fighting back, there's no need me fighting back. And he realized the reason the guy wasn't fighting back was because he got clocked so hard that he was basically out on his feet, you know, and it looked like he didn't get into the fight, you know. So Posey's, your hesitation in that situation, you could end up watching one of your boys get hurt, which is kind of why you always jump in, fight, and discuss it later, you know. But Posey decided he wasn't having it.
Yeah, it's a baseball.
I don't blame him. But it could have been a hell of a lot worse, is a better way of putting it. Because had Harper came out there and clocked his boy a couple times for real, we'd really be dogging Posey right now.
Yeah, but it's a baseball fight. What are the odds of that happening? We've seen it once.
I'm also a big believer in, like, how come in team sports fights always have to be team fights? Like, you know, some dudes are rational, and they're like, hey, if this is a baseball game, we don't need to fight. And then some guy like Hunter Strickland's an idiot and holding a 3-year grudge. If you want to go and throw that and you want to get in a fight, that's on you, bro. I'm a big believer. Let guys fight their own fights.
Oh, I'm with you, too. However, I'll use the famous however. If I'm going to have a teammate and I'm going to get into some stuff, I'd much rather have Steven Jackson. You know, I don't want Steven Jackson – you know, to look at me and I'm Ron Artest, and he goes, look, Ron, you fool. We know you crazy. You started this. You on your own. I'd much rather have Steven Jackson come in and go, I'll fight everybody in this section.
you take the first four rows, I'll take the second four.
Exactly. I've done my best through my life to not put my boys in a bad situation, but I really want my boys to Steven Jackson it rather than Buster Posey. That's the doggone show.
Jerome Solomon, our guest. Jerome, remember when we used to talk about Tiger Woods as being a great golfer and not a guy who fell asleep in his car from taking too many drugs?
Yeah, but the weird thing, or a weird thing, is it wasn't nearly as long ago as people make it out to be. You know, I mean, the guy was the number one golfer in the world just 3.5 years ago. You know, the last time he played a full season on PGA Tour in 2013, he was number one. I mean, he's, you know, way after all of the earlier mess that happened in the divorce from 2009 and 2010. So, yeah, it's one of those deals where he set the bar so high that only he could continue to live up to it and maintain it, or even had a chance to, and he hasn't done that. But it's been, his body has just completely let him down. And this is one of those bad situations that could have been a whole heck of a lot worse, but it all stems back to his body. You know, just last week I was reading all the stuff that he wrote about his recovery where, and all the pain that he's going through and why he had to go through this fourth or fifth back surgery that he's had. And he's had three or four Achilles surgeries and at least five or six knee surgeries. His body has been wearing him down. And there's no excuse for any of this that happened the other night, but it all starts with his body not delivering for him. You know what I mean? And his body falling apart and him on this slew of drugs that has his mind all, you know, out of it in a way. And I do think it is different in terms of perception that it, you know, it comes from prescription drugs for the pain versus being a John freaking Daly who's just a loser. But it wouldn't matter to a person who was hurt what you were on if you ran over me at 3 o'clock in the morning because you shouldn't have been driving. It wouldn't matter. And it shouldn't matter legally in that sense. But perception-wise, I think it does matter. And it all stems from his body. His body hadn't let him be the Tiger Woods that he used to be. And it never will, obviously. Never will be again.
It's because he got off the roids of the HGH. If he'd stayed on that, he'd have been fine.
Well, if roids and HGH could keep your Achilles from busting, I should have been on that stuff.
Yeah, but you're weak. He wasn't weak. I was kind of hoping this was a sign that he was back to partying and mashing Denny's waitresses and stuff like that, because that's when he was at his best. But apparently it was just a drug reaction.
And even then I try to tell people that stuff, one, it wasn't nearly as bad as people tried to make it into. It really was not. I mean, Tiger Woods slept with fewer women than you did, Fred, period. We won't go there. And he shouldn't have had to work as hard. But it wasn't as bad as people made it out to be, and it had nothing to do with what he did on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sundays on the golf course. He was just a great golfer. He just partied and had fun many, many nights, just like many other golfers did. He's just better than them at golf than they were, and clearly he wasn't as good as getting away with partying as, say, someone like a Fred Fowler.
I have no idea what you're talking about. All I'm saying, though, is that it gave him a swagger, and he lost his swagger. No. We all have a swagger.
He lost his swagger, and then he was hitting Lindsey Vonn not too long after that.
Yeah, speaking of which,
in the world, and last year he made $50 million in endorsement. Yeah, I think his swagger's all right.
Okay.
You know, his swagger is doing just fine. People are making Tiger out to be a lot sadder than Tiger Woods actually is. You know.
Well, let's see if he ever limps back out there and plays again if he's got swagger. By the way, did you see what the Lindsey Vonn Instagram? Totally throwing shade at him?
No, I did not.
You should go check that out. She basically just she did a little Instagram photo of her in a bikini and having a good time, and just it was obviously a little reference.
talking about the future is bright.
Yeah.
It looks nice in a side-by-side with Tiger's mugshot.
You know, take a couple of days off from Instagram just for a minute, you know. But, you know, she knows him very well, so maybe I'll give her credit. If that is indeed what she's doing, throwing a little shade at him, I'll give her a lot of credit. I know Lindsey a little bit and spending some time around her. I'll give her a lot of credit because she hasn't called him out or made any noise before. And when they initially broke up, she didn't just go on and on. In fact, she went out and got a, you know, Tiger lookalike.
All right.
So I think Tiger wins that war when your girl leaves you and goes out and gets a lookalike, you know.
And he ain't got Tiger money.
No, exactly. his, He's like Tiger.
Yeah.
He's not really Tiger. He's spending her money versus the other way around. So I don't think Tiger's all that hurt. But you know, you never know. You don't know what's in a person's heart. But no, I think Tiger got the best of that deal in a lot of ways. But like I said, I'll give her credit. She hasn't been slamming him for the last couple of years at all. So, you know, clearly he wasn't that offer to her, because if he was, she'd have really been roasting. So,
all right, that's Jerome Solomon, and we have to move on. Jerome, appreciate the time as always.
All right, fellas, have a good one.
All right, we're going to take a break here. 713 says, why does Jerome laugh at Fred's roid and HGH comments? That's what roids do. Your body breaks down. I've long held that. Everybody forgets about that Canadian doctor that he was visiting, who was the HGH guy. I mean, why wouldn't he, as dominant as he was?
What's crazy is his last major was in 2008. I was a freaking intern.
Yeah.
June of 2008, I was an intern here.
Yeah, it's fine to talk about him being number one in the world 4 years ago, but that 2008, that's how he measures himself. It's going to be 10 years next year that he's not going to have won one.
Our station was 1 year old.
God.
Right. It doesn't seem like that long ago that Tiger Woods was like the driving force of talk radio. Like, and this was like before, you know, the divorce and the, you know, getting a golf club bashed through his windshield. Like Tiger Woods being great at golf was the driving force of talk radio.
All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Grandma answered at the dawn again. I cut it into pieces.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. And next segment, we're going to talk a little beer. Buddy Eric's here. Let's knock out the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Our buddy Savage Ass Black Swan on Twitter sent me this over the weekend, so I had to save it.
Savage Ass Black Swan.
That's what she is
Swan.
This week. It always changes. Swan Lake Libre, but she always changes her main one. So here it is. A Florida mystery from Lakeland is so complex, it needs a step-by-step explanation. Number one, man steals truck. Number two, swan sculpture was in back of truck. Three, man was naked. Four, truck was located. Five, man was arrested. Six, swan still missing. So basically, a naked man steals a truck with a $25,000 swan sculpture in the back. He was caught and arrested, but the swan is still missing.
Swan's dead.
I think so. I think he might have killed the swan.
Usually, if it, the first 48, they say.
Right, if you don't find him.
Yeah, it's pretty much downhill from there.
So, $25,000 swan sculpture. So that's probably why Swan sent me this. But Ronald Thompson is seen in security video breaking into Lakeland Cold Storage completely naked. Steals the truck, drives off the property, and the swan sculpture was in the back of the truck at the time of the theft. He was later arrested in Hillsborough County, and deputies were able to recover the truck, but no swan.
I thought maybe you were going to go, oh, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
Yeah.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day. I thought maybe you were going to go with the guy who signed with the Dallas Cowboys and then went to a party to celebrate being signed by the Dallas Cowboys. And caught a DUI on the way home.
Yeah, I had that on the list to get to, but not as a gym of the day, but as a general.
Okay, maybe we'll get to that later on in the show then.
All right, very quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.